Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Daja, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Daja, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Daja, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Daja, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geek Enders.
What up, players?
It's August 6th, which means it's my birthday.
It's not your birthday.
It's my birthday.
So, yeah. Hey, thanks for doing this one day early on your birthday.
Yeah, no problem. Well, to be fair, it's because I will be on a camping trip for my birthday tomorrow.
And everyone knows how much you love camping. You are, as people say, the camp queen.
I can't stop talking about it. I talk about camping so often. They can't hear you. They can't hear the goofs you're making. What's happened here?
It's a good thing I'm recording on my end. People on the VOD will hear it.
I guess
you're
going
to have to watch
now.
The VOD in order to see those sweet, sweet goofs. Damn. That's a shame.
Well, we won't do them again.
Sorry, yeah, never. Have to not them. Happening. Sorry, live viewers. That's a shame. That's a real... It was so good, too. Like, it was generational comedy.
Maybe an all-timer for starts of this podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
Keep Great talking question. About camping. So here's the plan.
Okay. All right.
No, I never go camping, if we're being real. I haven't been properly camping since I was a kid, I think. Mm. We do backyard camping. We set up a tent in our backyard a lot. Because that's fun. And also, when you're over it, you can just go inside.
Go inside. Right.
Yeah. So this will be our first camping situation where it's like, we are here for the weekend. Mm. You know.
I guess you'll discover if Clark loves camping this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, she's loved the snippets of camping she's experienced. So will she love...
Everyone loves a snippet
actual,
of camping.
Yeah. Will she love, like...
The concept of camping is fun. Yeah.
The concept's great.
You love the idea of it, but not the truth.
Aesthetically, fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I will watch people camp. I'll watch outdoor survival videos. I'll watch videos of, like, I spent 6 days in the wild and I built a home from scratch. I'm like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, they're fun.
I watch dudes try to sell me campers on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this RV, it's got this. I'm like, wow, man. What a dream to just try. And then I'm like, every time they get to the park where it's like, and then you empty your own shit. I'm like, nah.
I'd rather die.
I'm out. Nah, I don't care anymore.
No, the
dream's dead.
They are much less down for you to just like set up a camp wherever. In America, I think we're much more chill with that. Here, you have to go to like a campsite for the most part.
Do you think it's because of land ownership rules?
Probably.
I'm sure there's like some 17th century law where it's like Lord Funsington upon Thrustershire owns all of this land, and to keep upon his property, you must sign a lease with the Lord.
Probably.
And in America,
exactly,
it's like get
that.
In where you fit in, brother.
They did put out like a warning because it's been so hot and dry here. Because originally we were like, this is going to be so fun. We'll set up a campfire. We'll like do some s'mores. And then the place where we're camping was like, no campfires. I'm so sorry. It will cause a problem. So.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So no campfires. We are allowed like little gas burners and stuff, which we were going to bring anyway to cook with. So, but yeah, we're just going to have to, you know, get creative.
Question.
Yeah.
Without doxing yourself on this fun trip, because I would not want you to go camping and then randos to show up out of the woods. I must stress.
Yeah.
One of the worst experiences of my life was being a senior in high school. Myself, my friend Brian, shout out to Mo, and these two girls went camping. Now, we all know what that's about. I don't need to explain it.
It was a smooching trip.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
We went out camping, and as we're out in this tent in the middle of the woods, people just came out the woods like, what are y'all camping? We were like, nope. So instead of smooching, we all slept in my car with the lights on all night. Because these dudes were like, all right, well, we'll just be in the woods over here. And we were like, nope.
Woof. Ew.
So I'm just saying, it's, you know, there. I don't want you to have the experience of like, I brought my kid out in the woods. We're going to have a fun time. And then someone's like, I'm a huge fan. And I just figured I'd come stop by the woods.
Hello.
What's going on? Anyway, what I really want to ask is...
That's not the setup, if that's the question
right,
you have.
Right, right,
yeah, yeah.
What I really want to ask is this a campsite where it's, like, sure, there's woods, but is it near stuff? Like, do you need to cook? Could you just be like, yeah, we Ubered some McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. I even said to Sam, it's close enough to where we live. It's not close, but it's close enough that I was like, if you are having a rough time sleeping, it's close enough that he could absolutely just go home and sleep. Because we're going going with another family. So we have like two camp plots right next to each other. And I was like, it's not like we'll be alone. There people we know are literally right there. You know, so right. If he's like, right. I am in hell, he can just go. Because Clark and I are this big, so we can just curl into a pretzel and sleep and be fine.
How well do you know this family?
Really well.
This other family. Damn. All right.
Why?
They probably know. They would probably know if you're like a goofball, right?
Yeah.
They probably like know your... See, the way you describe that, my mind, this is how messed up I... Dodger, this is my problem.
Okay.
I see everything as a potential
this is
goof.
Your one problem. Okay, got it.
Yeah. The only problem I have. In my mind, I was like, oh my God, first night. No, actually, it would have to be second night. First night, I'd be like, last night, did you hear anything weird? There were so many strange noises. I don't know what that was, but like, I felt like there was like a scratching on the tent and I heard voices and they were calling to me. And I was like, what? I thought you guys were playing a joke. And they'd be like, no. Night two, I'd leave my tent, but I'd like rip it up at night when they were asleep. I'd rip up the tent.
This is a very expensive coop.
Right? I'd rip up the tent.
Okay.
And then I would leave the car and I just like call an Uber or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd leave. So the next morning when they woke up, it'd be like I just vanished.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be fucked up. Yeah.
I know, right?
Uh-huh.
But man, oh man, for like an hour, they would be stressing. They'd be like, oh my God, he got taken in the night by the whispers.
We should have listened. He said,
we should have listened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would have been good. I would have enjoyed that tremendously.
I really do miss faking my own murder.
Right. No, but I'd show back up, but I'd come out of the woods and I'd look totally fine.
Right.
But I'd be in like a suit or something. I'd be like, I was just walking through the woods. And then they never want to hang out again. So I wouldn't have to go camping. It'd be a great, like, that's a solid end to a game. I would never have to go.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it certainly is a... I'll keep it in my back pocket.
All right.
In case I need it. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. I'll keep them in my back pocket. No. So anyway, moving on to reality.
I don't think... I had a sewing project in my pocket for a while, next to the murder plan. that I just hadn't found the time to do. And this weekend, it's supposed to be really hot again because we can't escape it. So I decided to finally do it. And it's awesome. Highly recommend this sewing project if you want a really easy sewing project. I was so delighted by how easy and delightful it was. So,
okay.
It's a neckerchief, except it's filled with water beads, like Orbeez.
What the shit are you talking about?
So when it's
first
really...
First off, time out.
Yeah.
Not a scarf.
No.
A neckerchief. So that's an entirely different genre of neckwear.
Yeah.
Like, and then
the type that you like this thin that you tie.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then you filled it with a bunch of stuff. In this case, little water beads.
Yes. The idea.
Like neck boba.
Yeah. You fill it with the neck boba. The idea being that they absorb water, right? So when you need to do something outside and it's hot, you put the neckerchief in cold water. The Orbeez absorb the cold water and then you put it around your neck and it stays cold for a really long time.
This is, by the way, I just want to stress to anyone who doesn't quite understand what we're talking about. When you go back and watch like 1960s movies or 1970s movies and there's a guy and he's wearing like a flamboyant little like neck thing, that's what we're referring to. That style of neckwear.
Yeah.
And Dodger's saying, all right, fill it with beads, get it soaking wet, put it around your neck.
It's amazing.
That's what we're doing.
We tried them today. I made them this morning. They took no time at all. My kid sopped up the water beads. I did the sewing, put the beads inside the neck thing, sewed it, put it around your neck. It stayed cold for hours.
I would have thought you would do like a headband situation.
Well, your neck is like one of those spots, right? That if you can keep it cool, it like affects the whole body.
It keeps the whole thing? Oh, yeah. All right.
So.
Okay.
It took like no time at all. If you're somebody who has a sewing machine, but you're like, God, all these projects take so fucking long. I'm telling you, this is so, it took no time.
I love that. Also, you can tell we're in sort of like a weird, I don't know what's going on with the kids.
Okay.
No clue. But sure. I will say that the other day I went to the mall. Look, my reasoning, you don't want to know the reason. I'm going to tell you, though. Last time I was there, I was walking around, and I noticed they had a place that sells cheesesteaks. And I haven't had a cheesesteak in, I'm going to say, 15 years.
Hell
and
yeah.
So I made the plan to go to the mall to get a cheesesteak. I was like, I'm getting a cheesesteak, dude. So I went to the mall, got a cheesesteak. And then afterwards, because, you know, it was a cheesesteak, I'm like, I'm going to have to walk this off. So I started walking around the mall. And I ended up in the Target they have in the mall, walking around in there. There are so many sewing kits geared towards kids. Like, a lot.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was like, wait a minute. The kids are into sewing? Lot of them.
The kids be DIYing their clothes big time.
I couldn't. Yeah, it was not just like sewing blanket things or sewing, I don't even know what you call those, where you have and then you like sew the tapestry, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah.
You know, that thing. Mm-hmm. But also they had like sewing little figures, repair kits for clothes. I was like, yo, what is it? I was like, if we're on the repair kits for clothes phase, all right, man. Like, okay. It's fascinating. I had no clue that, quilting or sewing was making a comeback.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you could something something recession indicator something something something, but like
that sounds crazy.
I think it's also like a social media result because people really like watching a person like mend clothes, you know, adjust clothes, make clothes, and then their brain goes, I could do that, which is true, but you know.
Yeah, especially those ones where you see like the hole and they make a fabulous design over the hole and you're like, oh, that was lovely. It made that pants look better.
It did make that pants look better. I agree.
It made that pants look better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think there is something, I don't know if it's Gen Z or Gen Alpha, but younger than us for sure. where people are like, they were, you know how after a certain point of time, when you're a kid and your whole life is X, all you want to do is Y. This is the case here where it's like, I feel like everyone who grew up on touchscreen interactivity is like, I just want to feel
craving
something,
tactile.
Man. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
And that's cool. No problems there. Good luck, kid. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that. I noticed there was a lot of that. And then also, once again, reaffirmed, went to GameStop. There's like one wall of games. Everything else is like shitty gacha toys and things. I was like, oh, okay.
My God.
GameStop, do what you do. It's weird. It's weird in there, man. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of plushies for characters I don't know who they are.
Bro, last time I went into a game store, they had an over 10 amount of Skibidi Toilet toys.
Yep.
And I was like, not a game, but okay.
Yeah. A lot of like animated cartoon. You know what it is? I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it.
Oh my God, he's saying
GameStop.
It.
GameStop, you became Hot Topic.
Oh,
it is what it is.
I don't know about that.
It is what it is. And then Hot Topic became Spencer's Gifts.
They have always been best friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spencer's and Hot Topic have always been holding hands my entire life, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I will say one of my favorite things in the, like, I don't know how it, I feel like the world's changed enough where, like, through social media and the internet and just culture in general, Spencer's and Hot Topic is not as, like, dangerous as it's, like, back in the day, you go into, like, a Hot Topic and there'd be that back wall of, like, sex toys and you're like, oh! Yeah. Now I'm like, that's the goofy, like, why is that here? That's so goofy. Like, you could buy that online for cheaper. Why are you going to buy, like, the rainbow dong at Hot Topic? That's just embarrassing. Like, it's an entirely different vibe. And then, like, it's, like, your rainbow dong is next to your SpongeBob high shirt. Where it's like SpongeBob, he's got a joint hanging out of his mouth. And I'm like, who's wearing that?
Dude, I didn't realize it when I was a kid, but they truly are big dogs adjacent.
Yes, that's the most. Yes, that's big dog as shit. Yes, yes,
they really, really
that's
are
big dog for 13-year-olds. Yes, yes, you're absolutely right. Yes,
but yeah,
yeah. The mall. I'm gonna let you know. I'm glad we have malls here in LA that are still functional, because it's nice to walk around a mall with, like, a ton of people. I've been to malls in some places where it's a ghost town. And it's really,
yeah.
It's so sad.
There are completely abandoned malls now. And I'm so curious when I see footage or videos of abandoned malls. I'm like, my mind immediately tries to jump, like, 10 to 20 years in the future. Like, who's going to buy that and what are they going to turn it into?
I don't know.
Is that a future apartment complex? Like, what is that? What's that going to be?
There is a fascinating case study. So what's the big mall in Torrance? The huge is the you know, that one that's on, like, that big one that's like four malls combined.
Yeah. I don't remember what it's called, though.
It's a pretty famous big mall here in LA. And one of the things that's fascinating about it is the mall's so big and there's so many shops that there's one corner of the mall that is clearly the, like, hellscape version. Where if you go far enough into one corner, you end up at the very end of the mall.
Oh,
and
the fashion
it seems
center.
Like one. Yes, the Galleria.
The Del Amo Fashion Center.
Del Amo Fashion Center, that's what it is. There's one section way in the back that's, like, that's where the army recruiter is. And, like, Nana's sewing shop. Like, there's nothing over there. There's no one over there. It is very clearly the dead end of the mall. And every time I'm there, I look at that as the example of, like, okay, how do dead ends come back? Or how do dead malls come back? And watching them try, there's new shops in there all the time. And none of them land. And I wonder if simply once you hear something's dead, you're like, there's no reason to go over there. So you just don't go.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know. It's very interesting.
Weird.
But it's also crazy because it's in a mall where like millions of people go, but they just don't go to one section. I guess it's very like no one does the full mall anymore. They're like, I know what I want. I know what I'm getting. There's no reason to go over there. I go, okay.
Yeah, I would. So far since living here, I haven't seen the same sort of like mall abandonment here either. Normally, the areas that are much more like American malls are packed with people. So, yeah, it does seem to be kind of a, at least so far, like a middle America kind of. Phenomenon.
I mean, they did. That is on us. And by us, I mean, you know, the builders slash millionaire billionaires who built malls everywhere. They really tried to put a mall in every community.
Everywhere.
And I'm going to let you know, every community can't sustain a mall. Like, there's malls in some places where you're like, why did you build that? Like, even in the 90s when I lived in Ohio, we had a mall right near where I lived. And that place had like two shops worth going to. Everything else was like, why does that even, hell, even where I live now, there's a mall, like a very small mall of like nine shops right next to me. Seven of those nine shops, I don't see anyone in at any point in time. And I'm like, why do you exist?
Yeah.
And the other two shops are restaurants that are always busy. So there are people there, but they are actively avoiding the weird shops no one goes into.
Right. I have noticed that a lot of the malls that do really well aren't just malls. They're also, they nearly all of them have like a major cinema inside. They'll have some kind of like kids activity experience inside, you know, mini golf or something like that. Like it, they offer reasons for you to go in person. And then a lot of times you just wind up going somewhere else while you're there, you know, even if you didn't necessarily want to go to the mall.
There's, man, there's this place, like a shopping center in Marina del Rey. You've probably been there a million times. It's the shopping center in Marina del Rey, and they had at the one of the corners was a Borders Books. Years and years ago, it was a Borders Books. And then, eventually, when everyone was like, no one buys books in person anymore, it moved to like, I don't know, like a shop for sailing supplies or some nonsense. And the borders closed down. Anyway, what ended up happening, and I think this is fascinating, is eventually Amazon bought the property and opened a physical Amazon bookstore. And everyone was like, what the hell? So then, recently, Borders rebought it, opened up a Borders bookshop, but inside is like stuff to do now. So it isn't just a bookstore. It's like a, you know, it's a, there's a lot of coffee places in LA that aren't just a coffee place. There's like things happening in there, a reason to go there besides the $12 coffee, which let's be real, LA, you can't, I'm not going to get fooled. You can't sell me online, but it's this coffee came from a small farm in upstate Peru and only two upstate. People in the world have it. Like every coffee shop in LA is like that. Every right. coffee shop.
It's like the joke in Elf when he's walking by a place that says best coffee and he goes and he's like, you did it. Even though every that's, place claims to have the best coffee.
That's the problem, because everyone I know has their favorite coffee place and they always insist it's their favorite coffee, and I'll drink it and I'll be like, yeah, it's good.
Right.
Is it worth the amount I paid for it? I don't know. Probably but like, not. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hate it. Like, yes, you're better than Starbucks, but like, that's not a high bar.
Right.
Like, all right, cool, man. I don't know. It's very expensive to get like coffee in this city. Mm. So shout out to Jesse's Irish breakfast tea with vanilla oat milk. It's a solid start to my day.
I can't do a shout out without this suddenly being a branded.
For Dodger Coffee Co? The best coffee you can get online and shipped to your home?
Oh my gosh, that is what I meant.
Good.
You guys should check it out.
Otherwise, I would be embarrassed. Yeah.
All of our coffee comes from upstate Peru. Not for real.
From upstate Peru, yep.
Not actually.
Owned by a lovely couple, John and Tina. They run this, John and Tina in Peru. They run this lovely farm.
I love John and Tina. I've met them multiple mm-hmm. times.
They're sweethearts.
Oh, silly, silly, silly. Can I talk to you about a game?
I would love that.
Okay, so there is a game that has been in early access for a while called Fields of mm-hmm. Mystria. It is a farm sim game with like the aesthetic style of old 90s anime. And like the HUD feels very like old school RPG.
Like Octo's new avatar.
Yes. And so it came out for real yesterday. It launched its 1.0 release. But up until now, I've only heard great things. Well, it's been in early access. So I decided to finally try it yesterday. It's very cute. It's it's very cute. It's really fun. It's got that quality.
I mean,
quality
it's a farm sim, so like, of it course. Is.
It's a farm sim. It's got great characters, really good art style. It has the quality of life shit that just makes my heart pitter patter. I was in town trying to craft something and it pulled supplies to craft from my home. So anything that I had left at home, it would be like, do you need this wood for this craft? And I was like, I do. I do need that wood. Amazing. Yeah, it's great. It's very, very well made. From what I understand, the things that people were hoping for with the like actual 1.0 release was fixing a couple of bugs and like lag issues. And most of the content that was coming out was endgame content. So I actually started playing it before 1.0 because time zones. If something says it's going to come out on the day, most likely sure. I won't be able to play it until evening my time, you know. But no. I figured I'd just play it anyway, because apparently the beginning didn't change with the 1.0 release. But I see now everybody loves it. It's very cute. No? Yeah, it's...
What's the spin on Farming Sim?
Oh, gosh. It's more of a... this one is... There's a town. It's like a high fantasy magic setting. There's a town that got hit by a terrible earthquake. It used to be a place of economy and life, but it got hit by a really bad earthquake and people aren't able to get into the town very easily anymore. They're trying to figure out how to jumpstart the economy and like fix up the town. They decide to put out a notice to adventurers guilds around the area and say, would anybody be willing to move here, help rebuild the town? Maybe like move into one of the houses and learn how to run a farm, whatever. And so your character is from an adventurer's guild. So the only thing you have when you show up is a sword, which I thought was very funny. Cause I was like, I don't think I've ever played a farm sim where you show up and you only have a sword. But yeah, I think I'm just now hitting the point where I think I'm about to fight stuff.
Okay, cool. Well, and the sword then makes sense.
Yeah, with the sword that I have. But the characters are all very cute. It does the thing that I was talking about with Moonlight Peaks, which is when you look at the map, if you've met a person, you can see exactly where they are on the map. Also,
love that.
I know. And to make it even sweeter, if you're like, I know exactly who I want to kiss and I want to make sure I talk to them every day, when you look at the list of people, there are two checkboxes for each person. There's a checkbox for you've talked to this person today, and there's a checkbox for you've given them a gift already. So if you've been like living your day and talked to people and then been like, oh my God, wait, did I talk to Juniper, the Dami Mami sorceress? Did I talk to her today? You can look and see if you talked to the Dami Mami sorceress or if you forgot. And if you forgot, then you can go talk to her really quick before you go to bed.
What is this game called?
Fields of Mystria. But yeah, the quality of life is great.
Oh, stop it. look. All right.
Did you look her up?
All right, look. The only reason why I know what I know mm-hmm. is because we had Gentleman's Hentai Club back in the day.
Right.
Juniper looks like a hentai character. Juniper looks like straight out of like a 90s hentai. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say which one because that would really put me on blast, but we did an episode about it We did an episode about it, and that is, looks just like it. That's crazy. All right. Way to go. Way to go, game.
To me, she looks like a Sailor Moon villain, but that's okay.
She does look like a Sailor. She does look like a Sailor Moon villain. That's absolutely true. Yeah, she's definitely, she's doing that.
She does the oh-ho-ho when you talk to her. She oh-ho-hos.
Called it. Yeah.
She also has the most adorable dog in the world that just hangs out in her, like.
That dog's a man. Let's not pretend. She turned a man into a dog.
Oh my God, that would be the most amazing reveal. Wait, I love this dog, but that would be an insane reveal if it was a human.
We all know it. We all know. We've all seen those dogs with people eyes, and you're like, yo, that was a man who got turned into a dog. Love I'm just it. Saying, there's dogs with people eyes, and when you see them, it's scary. Mm-hmm. Dogs with people eyes look into your soul, and I don't like it. I don't like it.
Oh, other quality of life stuff that people might like. You can change anything about your character at any time. Anything about how they look. A lot of the general quests in the town result in getting different cosmetics, clothes, whatever. So you can change all of that whenever. Also, at a certain point, much like with many farm sims, you get to choose a pet, typically a cat or a dog. You can change what that animal is and what they look like whenever. So, yeah, a lot of stuff that these games typically just lock in. They're like, why?
Yep.
Why? Who cares? Yep. Change it whenever you want. You know, it's just nice. It's nice.
Yeah. How much time did you put in? Did you put in a few hours?
Oh, gosh. It says that I've played for 8 hours, but I haven't. It's because I played it.
Okay.
It's because I played it for four, and then
you left it open. Then you dodged the whole thing.
No, not this time.
No.
I played it for 4 hours, and then my kid was with me for part of it because we had workers in the house, and so I was like, "You can come in and sit and play your Switch or whatever while I'm playing this." And she got sucked in, bro. And was
that's cute.
I know. So when I was done, the second I was done streaming, she was like, can we play? Could I make a character? Could I play that game? So I reopened it on the family computer and she played for a little bit.
That's lovely. That's fun. All right. So it's Clark approved. This is a Clark approved game, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Also, she named my farm. Would you like to guess what my farm is called?
Clark's house.
No.
Shining Time Station.
It is Snot Burger Fart Farm. You forgot this is an 8-year-old that I've raised, I think was the problem there.
There will never be a doubt that this is a child. Ever. No one will doubt this. This is like when people see my dad and they see me and they're like, yeah, no, that's his kid, all right. This is 100% your child.
Yeah.
There is no doubt in anyone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is your kid, all right.
Mm-hmm. It was going to be Fart Fart Farm, which I think would have been funny too. But Snot Burger Fart Farm is so excessive.
It really is.
I love really it. Is. Yeah, so that's my farm.
I love you for being like, sure, honey, yes, that's what we'll call it.
Yeah.
Because why would you lie to your kid? That's what you would have called it.
Exactly. Why pretend that I wouldn't have also named it that?
Yeah. Don't be a hypocrite. They'll see right through that. You got to be like, yes, dear. That's, yep, that's what we're doing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm very happy with that game. I'm definitely going to play more of it. I also finished Tormentum 2.
Oh, how was that?
Yeah, it was good. There was way more involved in the game than I expected. It wound up being around 8 hours long. And I went to look, and the first one took me 4 hours. So it's about double the length. There's definitely, by the end of the game, I had the desire to replay the entire thing, which I think would go really fast.
Interesting.
Because I know all the puzzles now. So I think a lot of it would go quickly. But it's a very choice-based game, this one. It's very much like, are you going to be a good person or a bad person, right? And the map for better or for worse, the more stuff that you do in the game, it'll start crossing things out to symbolize, like, you're done with that area, you can't go back.
Understood.
So whatever you decided to do there, that's locked in. However the people there feel about you and your actions, that's locked in, right? So it's nice on one hand, because if you get stuck, you're not spinning your wheels, like going to a bunch of places being like, was there something here I still needed to do? You know, they lock it off. Yeah. Be like, no, you're fine. But also it started to build up this like weird dread in me where I was like, fuck, should I have done that stuff differently? I can't go back now, you know? So by the time I got to the end of the game, and no spoilers, but by the time I got to the end of the game gave me like a major choice and a bunch of stuff. It made it really clear that a bunch of stuff was not available to me. And I was like, okay, so clearly I could have done stuff differently and been able to do this instead or that instead.
Well, I think that's fun that there's like multiple ways to go through it. And yeah.
Me too.
Especially for that type of game, because usually those are the games where it's like, well, you beat it and you've done everything.
Yeah. So I'm curious how it affects the ending. I'm not convinced it would affect the ending that much because of how it all went down at the end, but I'm very curious about what difference it would make, I guess.
So, okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. I might replay it and just kind of speed through everything except for the major choices and just do totally different things and see what happens. Or I might do the classic and just wait a little bit until somebody has made a all endings endings, all playthroughs video, and then be like, great.
Shout out to those people on the internet for games shout where out. It's like each run is 12 hours. I'm like, y'all, I don't have the patience, but thank you, Hero, because I'll learn everything I need to know about this game right now.
Yep, it's great.
Yeah,
maybe somebody's already made that. I haven't checked yet, but
I would bet, I would say probably.
Yeah. But what did you get up to this week, man? What'd you play?
Oh boy. Well, first off, last week you put me on Guild Run.
Yes.
And I just want to say for the record, you played. How long do you think a game lasts?
Oh, gosh.
Like a run. How long would you say? 15 minutes?
15 maybe? Minutes. Yeah, is what I was going to say.
I put 7 hours into this so far.
Okay.
And it's just a demo. It's literally just a demo. Like I said, last week we talked about how much I love TFT. However, playing against people who are like, I've built the perfect build, is annoying to me. So having a single player game of Guild Run, I've been playing and just like enjoying. I've unlocked every character in the demo. I've maxed out everything. And I've played to the point where I have 3 stars on most of the characters.
Oh my god!
And I'm going to let you know, I enjoy it tremendously. Admittedly, I didn't realize the game. So the game setup for this thing is so goofy. It's literally like a businessman is sent into like a guild. Like everyone is like a modern day person, but then with like a shield or magic, or like they're basically like they got warped into like fantasy life. But they're just like, I worked at a bakery. Right. So it's like, you know, everyone's like sexy modern, but also just like, what? Why? So ignoring the visuals, which are good, but also I'm like, normally I don't know that I'd be into the idea of like, yes, I was a sporty athlete in the Olympics, but now I throw spears that kill people. I'm like, all right, whatever. But gameplay wise, it's very fun. I have been enjoying it tremendously, and I've been finding weird cute combos and different things, and I'm really trying. I honestly, until they just reset the board, I was like 800th out of several thousand people that were on the leaderboard, like 50,000 or whatever. So I was like making my way up. Clearly not good enough. You have to like, you know how if you beat it, you can increase from like, you know, D, C, B, you can like keep increasing your level. I'm all the way maxed out. I'm playing on like the hardest difficulty. I realized I'm not good enough for the hardest difficulty. I'm just not. There are clearly combos and mechanics I don't understand, and my brain no good, I guess. And so I can get high And then I'll hit one fight and I'll be dead in 2 seconds. And I'm like, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. I haven't played the game very much,
but that happens to me a lot. I'll be like, wow, I'm doing great. And then I'll hit a combo of characters that just hard counter me. And I'm like, oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Never mind.
That happens to me every time. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. There's always one. Or I'll go through a run. So there's sometimes I'll play on the easiest mode. I'll make a comp. It is amazing. And I'll get to the last boss of just a normal run. And he'll one-shot all of them. I'm like, but why? But why did that happen? Mm-hmm. Why? So I've been playing that. Like I said, 7 hours in. Love it. I also have been dicking around again still with Kill the Sea, the demo for that. It's one of those games I really like. Again, very fun. If I didn't explain it, it's like vampire survivors-like. Except you're technically, you're a boat. I want to say you're a captain, but you're a boat because what you do is you recruit people to be on your boat. So you can recruit, like, one person's thing is making your boat faster. One person's thing is repairing your boat. One person's thing is, like, it's a seagull, and he, like, does certain things for your ship. And so each person you add to your crew influences how your ship behaves. Think of it like the buffs in a Vampire Survivors. And then there's also the weapons. But you have to balance because you can only have so many people on your crew unless you keep upgrading your ship. Mm-hmm. You have to balance what you have on your crew versus what weapons you have. And then you have to explore the map. Again, it's only a demo, so it's literally one level. I'm a simple man. I'm like, one level? Great, I can master this level.
Right.
And I keep going back in and I keep playing again and again. I am enjoying it a lot. And it's weird that I played two demos this week that I absolutely loved and then kept playing this
week. What a great feeling, though. That's great. Because then it's imagine how great it's going to be when it's out.
Here's the thing, maybe. You know, sometimes demos are the best part of a game. There's been a lot of demos I've played where I was like, wow, what a great demo. And then I play the game and I'm like, it's all right. We will see.
It could be amazing.
No. It could be. It could be. And then, of course, the big one this week was Beast of Reincarnation came out.
Right.
Played some of that. I played it a bunch. I even got spot. They were like, hey, do you want to get money to play this? I was like, yes. So,
reviews are really mixed on it. I was surprised.
It's a truly fascinating game. I enjoy it. So, like, combat-wise, it's super fun. It makes me feel like a badass. Once you get down the parry... So, chat demanded I play on story, so I was like, all right, sure. But then about halfway through, I was like, guys, I'm dominating this game. Like, I'm going to switch to normal. And once you get, like, the parry system down, I fought the first boss, took, like, 4 tries, and I was like, once you get parry, once you know what you're doing, everything is, like, enemies get hard countered by the parry. You can stagger them and then murder them instantly. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. And I think the parry's a little more forgiving than, like, most other games where you, like, have to do a parry. You know? The timing, I understand. They give you, like, a window. Like, if an enemy is about to attack you, they do, like, a rear up and then swing instead of just, like, a fluid motion. When it's fluid, I cannot tell when I'm supposed to press a button. It gets me every time. Yeah. All those, like, Souls-like games where enemies just are, like, fluid in combat... I need a moment of them being like, oh, I'm going to attack you. Like, I need that. Or I need a glow or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need, like, an indicator. Look, I'm that guy who, you know what? I'm old enough that I need to see some paint on a wall to tell me where to jump. If there's no paint, I'm jumping on all the walls.
I want yellow paint on that rock so I know I can go that direction. Thank you.
Hate me. I don't care. You know what? I like the quality of life.
Boo me if you dare.
Yeah. Yes. But with that said, so the game has, like, some interesting things that I don't quite understand why they made the choices they made. Like, the game auto starts you in Japanese. So I think it wants you to play in Japanese.
Okay.
But the subtitles are so small that I assume to be unintrusive. But if you're not a Japanese speaker and you're playing a game with action combat and you're focused on the combat... You have to, like, search for the subtitles. Yeah. You have to like get in there and look. And on stream, I don't think anyone could read them. So eventually I switched over to English. But in order to switch over to English, you have to leave the game entirely, go back to the main menu, and load up the game again.
Oh, that sucks.
Which I was like, wait, why though? That's a weird choice. And then there was like some camera settings that seemed very strange. There was things like it would... So one of the settings is the cinematics in game. Like we mentioned this before when I played at an event. It's like the cinematics are, you can do performance mode, which is 60, or cinematic mode, which is 24. And the cinematic mode looks gorgeous. But again, when you're doing 60, 60, 60, and then you hard cut into a cutscene, it's jarring because everything stops.
Right.
And I think most people, like, I'm fine with that. People in chat were like, oh, I want to see it like that. I was like, great, I'll show you. But I think most people would not like that. I just know most people wouldn't like that. But that's like the default setting. In fact, default settings on this game are crazy to me. Because I started playing, and like most games that you play in the year of our Lord 2026, when you start a game, it usually tries to detect what your best settings are and go from there.
Right.
This started you at medium. I assumed it was giving me the best settings. And I was like, well, I guess this is just an artistic choice to have, you know, your dog's hair look a little blurry. Nope, it just started me at medium. I had no clue. And it wasn't until 3 hours in that I was like, wait a minute. I can turn up to extreme and it looks great and plays just fine. Why would it start at medium? I was like, there's little things like that that don't make sense to me. And I feel like, I don't know what the choice was there on the back end to make that. Because otherwise, the game's very fun. I'm enjoying myself tremendously. But there's like, a great example is the music. There's one song that plays most of the game that sounds like Nier Automata. And when Krendor came in, he was like, if I had to listen to this song for more than 20 minutes, I would go insane.
Right.
Like, it's things like that, where it's gameplay, mechanically, it's a sound, fun, incredibly enjoyable experience. The story is told kind of like a mystery where you're playing the present, but you get flashbacks of the past to explain what's going on in this world because it's the year 4026, and like, mankind has put itself into robots, but there's still humans around. There's also weird plant animals, and like Japan is in some post-apocalyptic wasteland. Like, there's a lot of stuff to love, but then it's also like weird, crazy choices that hamper and damper that experience.
Right.
I don't understand.
Huh.
Yeah, it's I get why reviewers gave it a 7. It is a solid 7 game. Like, there's a lot of hate online, I think, right now, because people are like, well, this is Game Freak, so they're bringing their, like, Pokemon PTSD into it. And that's, do you, boo. I don't care. But it's, like, such a weird game. I was having a blast. I was, like, into the story. But I will say, every complaint I've seen online is, it's real. They aren't just making stuff up. Like, there's things that need to be adjusted. And they did say they were going to do that. They said they were going to fix the camera. They were going to increase text size. They were going to make some pacing improvements with the story. They were going to change the default settings to performance. They're going to do a bunch of other, like, they're going to make the graphics changes. So, like, they are aware. It's just weird that that's on launch what we got.
I assume a lot of what you were talking about, to me, sounds like, we are a company that does not make games for PC. And so we're just kind of doing what makes sense to us and then adjusting based on feedback, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, that's fine. I mean, again, I want to see where the story goes. It's one of those stories that is like very Jesse coded, but also it is also like a little neary. You know what I mean? And I love those games. I love Mia Yokotaro, so it falls into that category. It's less of a like Souls-like and more of a Nier-like, if you ask me.
Okay.
But I don't know. I again, it's a solid 7 for me. I think it falls in the exact same category as my experience with Dawn Trail. But here's the deal. Dawn Trail was divisive. So I completely understand people online being like, I do not like this game. Like, okay, cool. Like, yeah. But it's interesting. There's a lot of, again, like, it reminds me a lot of when I was playing through Crimson Desert. And I'm like, why did you make this choice? I'm enjoying myself, but then in order to pick up items, I have to pick them up.
Crazier.
But like, they went crazy, but the quality of life things of like, oh, you have to pick up one item at a time. It's like, well, there's 50 coins on the ground. That's the stupidest damn, like, that's dumb. Same vibe here where it's like little quality of life things. Like, did no one on the team say, we probably should fix this?
Right.
I don't know. It makes no sense to me sometimes, but game dev, man. I'm not making AAA games, so don't ask me for my like, I bet it's hard, but also there's got to be someone who was like, we really should increase the text size or at least have a slider or an option. People in chat were like, can you increase the text size? I went to go look. No, you can't. People were like, oh, can you change the voice from Japanese to English? I was like, it doesn't appear you can. You have to log out to do.
Right.
I do not understand.
Some people in chat were saying, like, there are loads of games that make you re-log the game to change voices. But the thing that was weird to me is the idea that you look for voice change and you can't even find it unless you're in the main menu.
Well, it doesn't even give you the option when you start the game to change it, which to me was a signal that they really want you to play it in Japanese, because they did hire, like, major Japanese voice actors.
Right.
Everyone in chat the entire time was like, oh my God, I know this voice. So like, I get it, and that's fine. But if that's the case, then why make an English dub?
Sure.
Right? If they want you to play it in Japanese, just make it Japanese. But then give people options for subtitles.
Yeah. Yeah. Let people change the size of the subtitles at least.
Which is, again, this is what's crazy, is you'll notice I've not said, like, we've been focusing on the nitty-gritty and not the actual game. Because the game, I think, is incredibly fun. The way it plays, you running around with your dog. So, like, you level up your abilities. So you have, like, hair abilities that you can do that, like, are, like, plant-based attacks. Your hair bayonetas its way through reality. You have your weapons. You have, literally, you can go melee. You can go ranged. You also have your dog, and your dog has like a whole set of spells that it can do, and it can do different attacks. One of the things, your dog can literally mind control a robot, and you can have a puppet robot follow you around. There's so much fun shit to do in
That's
this
fun.
Game.
Yeah.
The exploration's a blast. And because you have the ability to like, not double jump, but rise up out of the ground on a pole of like plant matter, the exploration is very vertical. There's all sorts of fun stuff you can do. You can make plays, you can do creative stuff. I can't wait to see a speed run of someone who knows what they're doing. I loved it. I love that. But it's the little things where I was like, this makes no sense to me. I don't know why. And I will say, that's what people are focusing on online. They're focusing on the voice acting. They're focusing on the bugs and this and that. But gameplay-wise, I think it's a great game. It's the little things that are pulling it. It's like, much like the tendrils Emma uses to defeat her foes, they are pulling this game back down to earth when it should be rising to greatness.
Oh my gosh, dang. That's beautiful.
That's the end of my IGN review. 7 out of 10.
Well, I would be curious to see how you as a 7 out of 10er feel once they've made a bunch of adjustments.
Sure. I imagine it'll still be a 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think, like, it's not a game of the year. Like, it's not like, wow, this is mind-blowing. It's another entry into a genre that has a lot of games in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, I'm enjoying it. I think because the way they're framing the story is very like, we're not going to tell you anything right now. We're going to slowly roll it out. And when you discover things, it's going to be, like, really cool. I'm like, all right, nice. Now, here's the thing. That slow roll, by the end of it, could lead to nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it could be one of those games where the reason they're not telling you anything is because there's nothing to tell you. And if that's the case, you know, I'll come back on here and be like, well, they got me. They got me. I put in, you know, X number of hours and they got me. Yeah. So we'll see.
Did you play, what is it called? Corsair Cove?
Ooh, what a fun game. Only a little bit. I downloaded it and goofed around in it. It's like under an hour, Duke, so don't take my word for any of this. But it literally is like you are starting a little pirate cove and you have to go out and collect the materials to then go build up your base. I remember
you
saying
you were really excited for it, so I wanted to ask about it. Yeah.
Yes. It is. It's great. Like, it's genuinely great, and I wish I had more time. And instead of playing Corsair Cove, I spent all my time in Occult Crescent this week. Don't blame me. Blame Final Fantasy XIV. Because if you stream this week, you know that if people donated 3 gift subs, they got a mount. And so this was the week to be streaming Final Fantasy.
And it's a beautiful mount.
Yeah, it's a rainbow unicorn look. It was the week to do it. If you're going to stream Final Fantasy. So, like, you can't blame me. You can't blame me. But, yeah. I expect more Corsair Cove. It's actually a really fun game. It's straight up just, there's a million city builders that exist. Mm-hmm. It falls in that genre, except it's pirates. And you build, like, really cool pirate bases, and it looks fun. And it reminds me, what was that movie from the 90s? It wasn't a good movie, but it was a pirate movie where, what?
Hook.
Not Hook. It wasn't a good movie. Hook's like a fine movie. It was like a bad movie. People were like, oh, that movie's terrible. Shit, what is that movie? Mm-hmm. Cutthroat Island. That's what it is. It's Cutthroat Island, thanks, the Pat. Game, and I love it. I love it.
Okay.
I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm not saying that it's bad, like the movie Cutthroat Island, but it's Cutthroat Island, where it's like a pirate base, and it's really cool, and you can build
just kind of like campy pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Big fan. And then. Yeah, I just, on my desktop now, I have Big Walk. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
And then Tears of Metal. I got Tears of Metal and I can't wait to play. Oh my God. Scottish Dynasty Warriors. I'm ready.
Hell so, yeah.
Yeah. Very, very excited.
I really loved the Project Hail Mary movie. And I also love audiobooks. And I was convinced by chat that my next audiobook should be the Project Hail Mary audiobook.
It's good. It's, yo, that Weir book is great.
It's so good. I wasn't expecting, I thought that maybe like the humor that's in the movie was sort of written in for the movie. The book is so funny.
Yeah.
It's a really funny book. And listening to it as an audiobook is kind of great because it's like a first person writing. So
all those books.
Yeah, it's great.
All those books are great. Martian, all of that. All like the three that exist at the moment. Also, if you want to read The Egg.
Is Martian by the same author?
Same guy. Yep.
I had no idea.
Yep. They are very, very good. I love that he takes the time to like. Really get. Oh, by the way, this is also true. Dude also helped write StarCraft.
Really?
That's I think so StarCraft fun. 2 he worked on a little bit. So, like,
this dude was like, you know what I love? Cred. Sci-fi. And I will live and breathe it for the rest of my life.
And honestly, it's great. Also, he was on that show that Neil deGrasse Tyson does, that like where he sits down and talks sci-fi stuff. Yeah, whatever the science show he does on YouTube.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I mean,
Star Talk. Honestly, is apparently what it's called.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. I would say, in order of my favorites of his books, I think Hail Mary's my favorite one. It's just it's so much fun. Martian's number two, very close number two. Artemis is like a distant third. It's all right. It's okay. And then I would say, because The Egg is like a short story, it's its own thing. But if you want to like have like an existential moment, go read The Egg. It's short, it's sweet, and it's literally one of those like, oh, like short. Like short story, like you could pound it out in less than 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. Short. Okay.
Yeah. It is literally like a, I don't even know. It's one of those like treat people well kind of stories, which I very much love. Mm-hmm. I love that. As we've discussed, I'm huge into Hopecore. So I love that kind of thing. Yeah, those are really good. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. I did the same thing as you, except I downloaded the Dungeon Crawler Carl series.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of Final Fantasy XIV. Everyone to a fault has been like, you're going to love it, Jesse. However, the first book, you're going to have to like get through the first 3/4 of the book. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, it's going to be rough. But then like it really picks up and becomes like one of the best series out there. And I'm like, well, if I can do it for other things, I can do it for this. I'm like, all right. So yeah, that's my next stop is I'm going to audiobook that one.
Nice. Know. The audiobook is really good.
Good.
He's very good at creating really distinct voices for all of the characters.
Great.
Which is so nice. Like he already has like a really distinct voice as the narrator.
Yes.
And that is, it's another first person book. So he's like speaking as Carl, but like, I don't know. I got to give flowers to audiobook readers that are like, I'm going to like put my whole ass into every character because it's so fun when you're listening to it. Like, regardless of how you feel about the humor in the book, the characters are really like distinct. So
yeah, there's I'm very like, I am always on team good book voice actor because it's tough because it's just you. And I'm a big fan of people who, like, if there's a book with a lot of female characters, but you're like a dude, I love the way they attempt to do that. And in video games, when I have to do voice acting, I attempt to do that as well. It isn't like, oh, I'm a hot, I talk like this. It's like, just use your voice, but make it a little more feminine and like the quality. It's fascinating the way they do it. I got to give a shout out as a Star Wars nerd to my man, Mark Thompson, who reads most of the Star Wars books these days. Dude is a phenomenal voice actor. Like, if you want to go read the Thrawn books or whatever, he's over there doing, like, all the crazy voice. I'm like, all right, bud. Hell yeah. But he's also, like, it's crazy. It's crazy to see truly amazing voice actors, but their whole thing is, like, books. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what else you do, but I'm aware you do books. So, good work. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you think that you could do audiobook readings?
I can barely do readings.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine has like gotten into that field and she said it takes so long. Cause look at any of you who listen to audiobooks, like think about how long they are. Like Project Hail Mary is 15 hours long, right?
Yep.
So that doesn't mean it took 15 hours to record. That means it took way longer than that, you know? And you can't record 15 hours straight. It's a person with a voice. Their voice would give out. Yep. Like it takes a long time.
Yeah, most people I know who recorded their, like, we have a lot of friends who've written books, and they've recorded their own audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they're like, yeah, I'm not going to do that again for another couple of years. It seems
it's
like
hard.
A lot of work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no thanks. No, I'm all right. Especially ones, again, this is why I like the Star Wars books, is they go out of their way to add sound effects, like Star Wars sound effects. So you'll be listening and then they'll have music and they'll have like the pew pews and the lightsaber noises and stuff. And you're like, oh, they put work into this. So I imagine it takes X number 100 hours to make that thing happen. And y'all, bless.
That's why I love work. Because I do feel like audiobooks aimed at adults don't always have that. Kids audiobooks almost always have sound effects, music cues. And it's so fun. I love listening to audiobooks with my kid. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes when I listen to like an audiobook that's supposed to be more geared towards me, I'm like, I mean, it's fine.
I guess it has
fine,
to do with what
I
the type
also
of book
like
is.
The sound effects.
Yeah, like if it's a murder mystery or like a, a nonfiction book, I'm fine with no sound effects because I'm like, oh, I like the silence and I like the pauses or whatever. But if it's a fiction book and it's like a fantasy world and like a cool action scene is happening and the person's reading it, it does feel like it's missing something if there's no music or sound happening. And it makes me really appreciate in movies and in TV and other, you know, games or whatever, the sound mix and the music used change. Like, again, we talked about the Odyssey a few weeks ago. I am just now starting to see people online pick up on the fact that the musical score of the Odyssey is badass. Like, yeah, it is great. So well the done sound, and so different.
The sound design in general in that movie is great. Yeah.
Honestly, probably the best sound design Nolan's done in a while, considering most of his stuff is just music and like, you're like, what? What did he say, Nolan? He's like, it doesn't matter what he said. It's about the moment. I'm like, no, it definitely matters, Nolan. It matters what he said. So this time I knew what everyone was saying, and the music was like, wah, wah. I'm like, yo, what is this? It's fascinating. I'm absolutely impressed. So yes, I love that. Again, it always goes back to my favorite video, the Aural Knots, Star Wars without Williams, where it's literally the end scene of the first movie where they're all walking down and it should have the triumphant music, but there's no music and it's just feet screeching and like a guy coughing. And you're like, oh, this scene sucks without John Williams. Same vibe.
Yeah.
It really does a great deal for everything. I mean, even video games. I'm going to tell you now, Dynasty Warriors would not be nearly as fun without wailing guitars.
It's
killing
true.
1,000 men is boring if you can't do it to rock music. Just a fact.
Yep. Absolutely. It's why Samurai Champloo works.
Oh, and it does. It works.
A samurai setting with hip hop music as the score. Mm-hmm. It just works. It just works.
It's good. Yeah. It does. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go on then. Do the news.
Where did you go? Where did you slid away?
Depress me.
No. I'm not gonna. No, I would never depress you. No. No, not me. I would never.
So all the news is good. All the news is happy.
No. So to start off, Rockstar announced that they are having an extended look at Grand Theft Auto 6 taking place on Netflix later this month.
Yep.
Grand Theft Auto 6, an extended look is what it's called, which is hilarious. It premieres on Netflix August 27th at noon Pacific time, 8 your time. And it gives viewers, apparently, a look at the next evolution in the groundbreaking Grand Theft Auto series. Now, if you're wondering what the hell that means, neither Rockstar nor Netflix has given any information on the presentation or how long it'll last.
The people that are super jazzed about Grand Theft Auto don't care.
They're already in. Yeah.
Yeah, they're already, like this, I don't they're know already who this bought is for. In, man. They don't need a description.
I guess this is for people who just want to see new things. And because Netflix, I think, understands that I ain't going to buy a Netflix subscription for this, it will also be on Rockstar's YouTube channel as well. So there you go. Meanwhile, over at Sony, PlayStation's rolling out a brand new firmware update for the PS5 Pro. And it's basically the PSSR 2.0 upscaling support will now be on by default on PS5 Pro. And it basically overrides the original PSSR settings. And if you're like, Jesse, what the hell did you just say? PSSR is PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution, I think. It's AI upscaling, right? For the PS5 Pro. And it's just AI extrapolates lower resolution shit and then reconstructs it so it's like 4K. If you're like, well, Jesse, I've never used that. I don't know what that's about. It's probably because you're not one of the five people that owns a PS5 Pro. So, you know, it's fine. It shouldn't affect you really at all. Mm-hmm. But I assume you don't interact with it, but that's a thing that's happening for PS5 Pro users. Then, over Nintendo Land, the latest financial results are in. The Switch 2 continues to be the fastest selling Nintendo system ever, reaching 23.68 million units sold in its first 13 months after selling a further 3.82 million during Q1 of its of the fiscal year. So no other console or handheld from Nintendo has sold that many units after five fiscal quarters, outstripping Nintendo's Wii, which was 20 million units, and the original Switch, which was 17.79. Once again, I just must stress to everyone, I'm over here with egg in my face, y'all. Switch, I was like, I don't even see a reason to get one. That's stupid. Who's that for? Switch 2, I was like, I already have a Switch 1. Why the hell would I get a Switch 2? It doesn't seem that impressive. And clearly, once again, I am wrong on Switch. I am not the... Don't trust me for Nintendo hot takes. I have none anymore. I clearly don't understand. I'm not a Nintendo kid. I don't... I'm like, I don't get it. And that's why, you know what? The lesson should be, people on the internet aren't the be-all, end-all of opinion. So... Take from that what you will.
It's true. I do think that part of it, though, because when the Switch 2 first came out, we were like, there just isn't like a console seller for it right now. So like, what's the plan here? And I think at this point, a lot of people are able to be like, well, I really want to play this on there. And if I had it, then I would also get to play this and get to play this. You know, it is one of those... consoles, if they're putting in the time to make good games for the console, it is one of those things that becomes more enticing as time goes on, because then you have a bank of like games that you could potentially play on it.
And I will say, looking over at chat, yes, this was sparked on by the fact that Tamagotchi Life sold 8 million copies, Pocopia sold almost 4 million copies, the new Splatoon game is blowing up in Japan, so yeah, they clearly have a market on what Nintendo fans want. They know it. They, you know, they get it, and that's incredible. Pocopia is a good game. Tomodachi Life, to this day, the clips I see online might be some of the funniest game clips I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, yeah. It's incredible. So good on them, man. They clearly have chosen to make stuff for their fans and not to make stuff just to make stuff. Which... Yeah. You know, that's what happens. I'll be over here be like, there's no games. And then when the games come out, they're hits. So good work.
Yeah.
Then the kind of bummer news, but, you know, to be expected. It's official. Ladies and gentlemen, EA is now owned by the PIF, the Saudi Public Investment Fund.
Right.
A deal that is the largest leverage buyout in the history of games. And maybe just in history in general. I don't know. EA is carrying roughly $18 billion in debt, requiring approximately $1.8 billion annually in interest payments, because EA's annual EBITDA is around $1.5 billion. The publishers reportedly informed debt investors that it plans to trim $700 million in annual expenses, including $170 million dedicated to original efficiencies. And Bloomberg, Jason Schreier, says, like, that means layoffs. They're going to fire a ton of people. They're just going to fire a bunch of people. And yeah, if you were invested in EA, though, you made $210 a share. So congrats, I guess.
Yeah, but, I guess so.
Yeah, once again, EA is EA-ing. And yeah, I don't think anyone expects anything great from them except, look, if you're into sports, enjoy. If that's, like, you're going to probably get the same things. But other than that, I don't know what the hell's happening over there. So big yikes. And then in an equally big yikes, but also like, what did you expect story? This week, we got a retrospective on Borderlands, the Borderlands movie from director Eli Roth.
I didn't watch that, side note.
Neither did I. And there's probably a good reason why no one did.
Yeah.
The Borderlands movie, director Eli Roth was talking about why it was such a failure. And he said that the studio... interfered, demanding cuts to drop its mature content down to PG-13, leaving the movie that belonged to nobody. Speaking in an interview with Variety, Roth explained that risk-averse studio executives made something that tried to appeal to everybody and ended up neither fish nor fowl, as he said, because it lacked the violence gamers wanted while failing to work as a kid's movie. Now, I have only seen trailers for this film. But I'm also going to say, maybe it was because it was miscast terribly. Literally every character was an actor that shouldn't have been that character. releasing a movie years after Borderlands was in the public zeitgeist in any meaningful way. And from what every review I saw, the script was trash. So, like, maybe it wasn't just the lack of violence.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe. Is I don't recall people being like, this feels like a baby movie. I recall people in general just being disappointed with the writing. And you can definitely write a good movie without a bunch of violence and swearing and whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I think definitely part of it is that people don't really think about or get excited about Borderlands.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think Borderlands, it's sad because Hollywood will pick up on a thing, like especially a video game, and be like, oh, we should make a movie about that. A decade after anyone cares.
Yeah.
And they do it all the time, and I don't understand why. Like, they will, behind the scenes, right, inside baseball stuff, if you have a popular game, Monster Prom had this for a while, if you have a popular game, Hollywood will come for you and be like, can we buy the rights to your game? Can we buy the rights? We'll pay you a bunch of money, can we buy the rights? And you're like, cool, you're gonna make a movie? No, we just want to buy the rights to it so no one else can get it. And with Monster Prom, we were like, no, piss off. We were like, if you want to make something with us, cool. But like, no. So absolutely, they will buy the rights to a thing and then sit on it. And I guarantee that's what happened here. Someone had the rights to Borderlands for a while, and they finally made the damn thing. Needless to say, initial Rotten Tomato scores had it at a 0%. If you want to know how bad that was. It made $33 million worldwide on a budget of $115 million. And I feel the reason this was brought up, you know, I'm just going to read the tea leaves here.
Okay.
I think this was brought up because Roth's spinning it as the reason why his latest movie, Ice Cream Man, is being released independently and unrated, right, as well as using generative AI in the movie. So basically he's like, I didn't work with Hollywood. I don't need them. They're terrible. But I feel like it's less because he didn't want to work with Hollywood and more because Hollywood didn't want to work with him. But then you're like, yeah, what? I don't know. I don't know the background. But that's the feeling I get. So
could be, though. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then release time. Oh, boy. Releases. August 10th, Twirl comes out. It is a crazy, like, stylish, visually wild-looking horror game where it's 3 a.m., you're in your childhood home, and everyone's asleep, and someone's saying you need to leave your room and do what you're told. It looks wild. If you go look at footage of this game, it looks like an art project. It's super cool. I love this. I think it's really neat. Huh. August 11th, Agent 64, Spies Never Die. It's a retro spy FPS inspired by N64. If you want to return to the days of yesteryear, especially for those games where you bonded with friends, this is for you. Looks just like said game of the past. Very cool. Then on the 12th, Security 51 is another in the line of like scan people before they enter X location game. Except this time it's Area 51.
Those. Yes. More and more of those.
I think because they're popular and successful. Yeah. This one, it's Area 51 based and it's pixel and it is such an atmospheric vibe. I had to include it simply because it just looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like these games, but there are a lot of them and they span a lot of different visual styles. But it's basically just, is this person going to kill the people in the facility, the game, over and over again? But it looks super fun. Absolutely. Very cute. Then, if you like footy, if you like playing football, if you're like, you know what, football, overrated. I need it to be a little crazier. Pro Jank Footy comes out. That's right, the arcade comedy sports game. It looks hilarious. It's absolutely silly. So if you don't want to take footy seriously, this is the one for you. Then, on the same day, Agefield High. I think it's Agefield High, Rock the School, is a bully-inspired raunchy comedy where you basically are like early 2000s era teen movie style roaming around school, being a baddie. Expect streamers to play this game.
When you say Bully inspired, do you mean like the old Bully games?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Interesting.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
It looks absolutely ridiculous. I at first I almost thought it was a porn game. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh no, that's
so
not
we'll
good.
See. Yeah, I genuinely don't know, but I had to include it because it just seems so crazy. I have no idea if it's going to be good or not, but like, all right, take a swing. Then on August 13th, Low Budget Repairs, a game where you fix apartments in the 90s, but like doing it slum job style.
Okay.
You're trying to save cash on repairs to make a buck. It looks hilarious, but in like the worst person kind of way. We're like, you know, oh, I got to fix this room. But then the tiles fall off the walls and you're like, oh, I'm going to leave it because I fixed the problem. Like that kind of thing.
Right. Okay. I see.
Like a slumlord kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a house flipper, but you're like a bad guy. Right. The videos of it are like you're drinking on the job. I'm like, okay. Perfect. All right. Great. Also on the 13th. Rusty Lake, Servant of the Lake.
Yeah.
The newest Rusty Lake game is here.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. If you have never played Rusty Lake games, you are missing out.
We love them.
They are cheap, they are weird, and they're absolutely one of the best franchises out there. I love them to death. I'm so excited. This one is going to be good. I'm very excited for next week. That's going to be a fun one. And then if you want to get, like, same day, if you're like, I don't want to play single player, Jesse. I want to play a multiplayer game. And not a 6v6. That's for losers. Not a 12v12, not even a 24v24. I want to play a 50v50 crazy Vietnam war game. Well, then I have Hell Let Loose Vietnam. Okay. It's a 50v50 Vietnam battle royale, like war game with 17 specialized roles to choose from. You have to like get with your platoon and survive tug of war style confrontation. It looks absolutely insane. Honestly, I love when people go for like, no. It's not like 20v20. 50v50 is wild. I'm here for that. It also means you need to have a lot of people playing your game. So this is definitely going to like live or die that on that.
My first thought was, so you need 100 people in order to play around?
I imagine they might bought it a little bit. I don't know. But Hell Let Loose, they've made other games, so I think they know what they're doing. They made a World War II one at one point. So, like, they know what's up. I'm very curious what this is going to be. But, like, bless, man. I love the big swings. I'm here for it this week. Bro. I like when indie games are like, screw it. We're shooting for the fences. And then the not indie game, and I don't even need to describe this. I'll simply say, same day. Madden 27. And I don't need to describe that. Everyone knows what that is. So
hilarious that that's coming out when we've still got multiple months left of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how that always happens? Do the 2027 does the 2027 version of something really?
Yeah. It's like cars. Like if you ever buy a new car, they'll do it the year before. So if you like go in the summer of 2026, for example, you'll get a 27 model. I don't know why. I don't know why they do that. I don't know, but that's the way it is.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you know what it is? It's before the football season starts. Chat's right. That's exactly why. Because the football season's 26, 27. Yeah, that's why.
Okay. Sure.
There it is.
It sounds good.
Yep.
Can you tell I don't play sports games? The only sports games that I ever played were with my brother, and they were always like red card. You know, games where it was like, yeah, you're playing a sport, but there's also like a SSX tricky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's the sport.
Tricky was incredible, though.
A little
yeah.
weird. Tricky was such a good game, man. I was obsessed with that game.
In chat, they're talking about Holdfast, which is a Napoleon combat, like Napoleon era combat. That's 75v75. I've seen video footage of that online. That is hilarious, by the way. The videos, the clips where they're like, brothers, charge when you see the whites of their eyes. And I'm like, this is hilarious. I love when people get like over the comms and there's like one guy who is very clearly going to be the commander. Yeah. Oh, those are good. That's good. That's good footage. That's good footage. Yeah, chat was saying that Dave Bautista is apparently going to be recast as God of War since the main guy hurt himself.
Yeah, I did hear
we'll
that
see.
As well.
We'll see what happens with that. I didn't know that that was particularly like big news, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what occurs with that. Also, I just want to say, saw Spider-Man. Yes. It's great. The new Spider-Man's great.
Oh my God! I want to see it so bad.
It's a really good movie. I was, you know what? Shocked. I thought it, based on the stuff I saw online with the amount of stuff happening in the movie, I was like, there's no way this is going to be good. There's no way. And I left like,
every single person who's seen it has said it's so good. And I'm like, I really hope, because you know when enough people say something's good that you can tell deep in your heart that when you see it, you're going to be expecting too much. I'm like, I really hope that when I see it, I can like go in without like unrealistic expectations for it.
Yeah. I do have one question about the movie.
Oh.
Is
it a gripe or just a question?
It's a moving forward question because they're clearly, you know, it's Marvel. So they're, you know, most of their movies are character set up for a future movie. You know how it
yeah.
is. So there's one character they're setting up, but that character's like, does a thing that seems almost irredeemable. And I'm like, what do you mean? So I can't wait to see what happens in the future.
I will message you after I've seen it. I would love to hear the spoiler-tastic version of that question.
Well, it's one of those things where when the movie ends,
mm-hmm.
you'll be like, okay, cool. I can't wait to see what happens next. But there's a poor man in a like neon vest.
Are you spoiling stuff for me?
No. There's a man in a neon vest. Just watch that scene. That's all I'm going to say. The man in the neon vest, focus on him. That's it. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Okay. All right. Hopefully I'll see it next week after I'm done camping. But what are you up to this week, my dude?
Boy, I think I'm going to try. Well, I was trying to play. I think tomorrow, all the gang at the office and I are going to play Big Walk. And we're going to goof around in that.
Fun,
since
cute.
We will not be streaming tomorrow. And then I'm going to try and get in some more just gaming. And then, man, I have a bunch of videos I'm working on at the moment that I need to go through. So that's a whole thing. I just don't. Editing is for the birds, man.
I agree.
So
never been a fan, and you can't make me be a fan.
Yep, that's what I'm doing. So yeah, that'll be me for a little bit.
Great. I am gonna be gone until Monday. I'm camping with my family. So this will be my last stream until Monday, but Monday's gonna be a very special stream. So everybody please tune into that at our normal stream time. But yeah. Maybe we'll play more Fields of Mystria next week. I'm not sure. I really enjoyed it. And we just got done with Tormentum, which was just like a Geiger fest, just a body horror nightmare. So Mystria is some good vibes. The good vibes, yep. I think.
Yep.
But anyway, hey, if you enjoyed Geekenders, you can watch all of the previous Geekenders is on youtube.com/JesseCox. We're also on all of the podcasting apps and sites. So however you would like to support the show, we would appreciate it so, so much. But hey, take care of yourselves, everybody. Have a fantastic weekend and week, and we'll see you next time. So long.
Bye.
Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's Come the on. Weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast, without a doubt.